Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we've got a job.
Good.
KZ Excellent.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
And Mr. Feel.
Let's see Paul Allen's metaverse avatar.
Here on Gigaboots.
So I've enjoyed many a deviant flavor of Mountain Dew over the years. Like most gamer fuels I enjoyed.
Yes.
I think that already puts me in a niche of humanity, but that latest thing, the what is it, raspberry lemonade? It just tastes like crack. I don't...
That's what everyone says!
It doesn't... No fruit on earth has ever tasted like this unless it also had, like, a car battery hooked up to it. I don't...
I need to get some of that.
It's powerful.
It really is, and I was like, you know what? Maybe it's just I'd be more complacent or copacetic to, like, a diet version. No. Do not try the diet version. No one should ever try the diet version.
I can't believe they made a diet both. Version.
Did you like the diet both. Version?
It was okay, but it didn't have like the this is a controlled substance power that.
Yeah, I was able to buy the diet version at a gas station in a bottle. The other one I had to get from a pharmacy tech who had to handle it privately behind the counter.
He's like, I'm going to drink one of those and have an edible and just see what happens.
Only get one of these a month, Dan. Better not waste it.
That's true.
If if you go different to the CVS to pick them up.
If I finish drinking that single bottle early, I'll just have some fits for the next 3 weeks as I wait to get another bottle, unless I make some shady deals.
Drive up to Connecticut. I'm sure they can take care of you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that I would recommend. Fia, would you recommend this flavor of Mountain Dew?
Sure.
Feel, I trust you. I should get a six pack.
I feel like
they don't make. Since when have they fucking made six packs?
They made six packs of that watermelon flavor.
They did.
Was it in bottles?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like, they haven't made six packs in cans in like 20 years.
Oh no, I typically get bottles.
I don't know, man. It feels like drinking an entire pack of sour Skittles. Like if you just emptied an entire pouch of sour Skittles into your mouth.
Oh shit,
that's what it tastes like. Yeah, it's
that's why it's so dangerous.
Oh, I'm about to get fucked up, man.
Yeah, you can't drink that and not get fucked up to some extent. And part of me just went, you know, this is the first time I put something in my body where I felt bad about it.
We got we got to get through Big Thing, and then Bob's got to start the car.
And like, this is irresponsible. Like, that was my first thought when I finished that bottle. And then I looked down at the bottle, and it's like, 170% of your daily intake of sugar. I'm like,
oh, nice. A good starter. That's a good way to get ready for the stream.
Yeah, gotta replace my coffee with this. And water.
No. And ice. And I'm just filling an ice tray with it.
Get one of those hats.
It's like, of course the ice cubes for my soda are also made of the soda. I don't want to dilute it.
I know, that'll ruin it.
You know, as unhinged as I may appear to people who notice how much fluid I drink, I am nowhere near as crazy as people who do that.
Yes.
I put normal ice in my fucking drink, not soda cubes. Admittedly, you could do some fun stuff with that. But that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's fun. You can't have fun 24/7, you guys. What are you doing making soda ice cubes for, like, normal living? Jesus. Bob.
What's up?
You've had the orange Julius's I make.
Yeah.
Which would you say it's more responsible to drink on a daily basis? That orange Julius or one of those Mountain Dews?
The orange Julius.
I'm not so sure.
Oh.
I'm not so sure, but I would sure love an orange Julius.
We liquefied sugar. Okay, why? Drink it. Okay.
Okay,
I'll stop
you.
Questioning.
Okay, I'll chug.
Okay, so this Mountain Dew is the shit that was in the mosquitoes in the Bound Ark.
Yes! Oh man, my veins are gonna start popping out.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob's gonna be like, I don't know, and then I'm gonna beat him up and then force him to drink the vial. God, the Bound Ark, stupid.
Yeah, it is.
I heard we played video games. We played video games.
Oh, yes. Shit.
Actually, you know what? We should call our shot for one more food thing, I think. That way, if it doesn't follow through, we can get mad.
Okay.
And our audience can get mad with us. They announced Little Debbie ice creams?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
They're going to Walmart's.
I just, like, the waxiness of a Debbie cake in ice cream is a deeply fascinating and horrifying prospect. Something tells me they won't translate that part over.
Yeah, I feel like these are going to be weirdly more
normal
food-like. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Debbie cakes are.
Yeah, so the flavors were like oatmeal cookie, cream cookie.
It's like oatmeal cream pie, honey bun, cosmic brownie.
Zebra cake.
Yeah, it's like, it's all of their normal things.
Yeah.
But in ice cream form, in the same way that they're migrating all of them to cereal.
The cereal versions were terrible, so I hope it goes better than that.
I assume the ice cream will also be terrible.
Luckily, I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't even join you for this request.
This is bullshit. Bob's pulling a flag. He's just like, nope, offside penalty.
I have a card from my doctor that says I don't have to eat the poison.
If only that card counted for fake chicken nuggets.
I'm sorry, Bob. If you don't eat the ice cream, Eric will have to.
Oh, no. He's way more lactose intolerant than me.
Get in the Ava, Bob.
It's weird. For some reason, Eric's blocked my number.
I wonder if he got the package. He's just like a mailman at the door, block of dry ice.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be a sopping wet box.
She's like, hey, can you sign for this package? He's like, no, go away, god damn it.
Go away, you freak.
Anyway, I'm excited for that whenever that nightmare lands in my lap.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we played some video games. We finished Info Month, or some would call it Info Week.
It for 8 days.
It was 8 days long. That was not intended. We were supposed to do one a weekend, but I didn't want to spend a whole week thinking about two.
That's fair.
Also, yeah. There's a strong appeal to infamous second Sunday.
Thank you, Agro.
Because it was the second Sunday. Yes, that was he was totally on the money with that. I'm like, hey, this is a win-win. I get to tweet that it's infamous second Sunday, and I get to not think about two for an entire week.
Yeah, that's for the best.
I'll be brief with my description of two. I thought going back, it would be better until the ending. I thought maybe the ending and the character development at the end really soured the rest of it for me. No. No, it really is that the whole way through. Where it's just two women, two grown-ass women catfighting over Cole the whole time. It really sucks. Not a fan, but the game visually looks unbelievably better than the first one.
Yeah.
It should not be on the same hardware. It looks so much better than Infamous 1. So, you know, this is really when you start to see that trend from Sucker Punch, you know, with Infamous 2 looking absolutely nuts, Infamous Second Son still looking amazing, even by modern terms. And then, you know, Ghost looking unreal.
Yeah.
This was funny because as we're playing through Infamous Second Son and it's running, you know, we're playing it on the PS5. So it's running like 4K checkerboard and 60 frames per second. I'm just like, man, this game is fucking old. It's like almost 8 years old now. Like in the next few months, it's 8 years old. And I politely did not stream it under retro, which I would like to be, you know, rewarded for. Be like, good job, Dan. You didn't smoke today. But it looks amazing even by modern terms. Like I think it's really, really competitive visually with some of the stuff you see come out now, and it's 8 years old, so it really starts to tap into this, like, it's gonna be really hard to delineate anything PS3 or later as retro, like, ever, because people
at least made by Sony. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point. Is there some sort of third party game we could pull out from around the exact same time and people go, oh, that's retro?
I mean, I'm sure that was still within the cross-gen period where things look pretty rough.
Yeah, yeah. Shadow of Mordor's retro.
Yeah, but I think people would think that looks pretty good on PS4. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Dragon Age Origin was that year. Inquisition.
Inquisition. Oh, that game looks so bad.
Retro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a retro.
It might as well be. It looks like early PS3, honestly.
It's not easy.
the retro gaming trope of Marvel Laser.
But yeah, it's kind of nuts to see that they had like less than 3 years between Infamous 2 and Infamous Second Son. considering Second Son feels pretty done. Like, I don't think it, like, a lot of the Infamous games, you finish them and it's like, isn't there some, like, large amount of content missing?
I was too, though. It has that weird thing of, I was going to bring this up, of,
yeah,
that they're not, the two stories, the good and the evil story, have almost no differences. Like,
yeah,
I played this whole game through 8 years, 13 years ago, I guess, when it came out.
11, yeah.
11.
Yeah.
Played it all the way through good side.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, surely I've forgotten something. We played through evil side. I'm like, I remember every one of these cutscenes exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's probably like three that are different in the whole game. That's insane.
Yeah, it's a pretty even split on this stuff. And, you know, as some people in chat were saying, there's some like radio chatter that's different.
Right.
But the cutscenes are largely the same, which is weird because Second Son, they do really different cutscenes for a lot of it.
Right.
Like a lot of it. I'm trying to remember exactly how the conversation with your brother goes before you team up with Prisoner Man, but I remember that going pretty different on bad guy mode. Speaking of which, as everyone pointed out, yeah, upset of the century, did not expect people to vote for good guy run.
Yeah, it was kind of messed up.
Good guy Delson.
What a good guy he is.
Yeah, he sure is good. I didn't know your audience truly enjoyed NFTs.
They chose create, not hate.
Yeah, it's true. They chose creating over hating. Maybe it was how we framed it that made them choose it. But who, you know, let's not spend too long navel gazing.
I mean, honestly, we really found out that there's a large section in the chat just trying to make it a tie.
One of them's in the call right now.
I wasn't trying to make it a tie.
Oh, okay.
I fucking wanted you to have to endure, like, Delson's smirk whenever he orbital bombs something, but he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a good guy. He just pins people down in tunnels that are collapsing.
When I saw the forced tie stuff, I'm like, this is just like that happened on Cursed Content by Committee, and I'm like, all those people have no rights.
I honestly, we don't really have a problem with this. Retro Island Gaming definitely does. Like, his chat will tie every vote to fuck with him. We did 12 rounds of voting. And the fact that it tied at the end was insane. I just wanted to do one long poll, but apparently the upper cap on Twitch is 10 minutes. Because, you know, not everyone's there at the very beginning, not everyone's there an hour in. No matter when we pull the trigger, someone's going to be upset. So we're like, okay, we're going to do 12 rounds. That'll fucking teach you. This'll be fair. And look what's happening.
Yeah, that comes down to a coin toss because they can't.
Because sickos. But yeah, no. I really enjoy the game feel of Infamous Second Son. I would have enjoyed seeing them make an Infamous after that. That was that level of great feeling and cool powers. Hopefully someday we'll get to see that. I think some of the story stuff is really neat.
It feels like the least dumb of the Infamous games.
It is definitely the least stupid. It is, yeah, absolutely.
Because in 1 and 2, there's both have some random plot points. There's like, this is stupid.
The only time Infamous Second Son feels stupid, which honestly, I don't even know that it seems stupid anymore. It just seems like, that Delson should be a villain in future games, is when he goes Groundma on the bad ending.
Yeah.
That ending is insane.
That ending's so good. It's so fucking unhinged.
What was up with the start of 8th Gen and Sony and drones?
Drones were really cool at the time. Like, yeah, really, really cool. They're the most second screen experience thing outside of second screen experience.
I was starting to stroke out because I'm like, wait, so Killzone Shadowfall has the drone mechanic.
Yep.
And then this, you get blast shards from drones.
Yeah.
Yeah, drones were
and
just...
I'm like, is there some other first-party Sony game from the first year of the PS4 that has drones in it?
Like, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare also is drone-oriented that year.
Oh, that was that year too?
I think so.
No, it was not. It was absolutely not. Because the 2013 was Ghost.
Ghost would have been the launch year of the PS4. So the next year would be Advanced Warfare.
Oh my God, he's right. Advanced Warfare's the same year.
And it also the Division.
No, the Division can't be that year as well.
That was probably the next year, but it was at E3 that year.
No, the Division is 2016.
So
what games do we have in that year?
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Killzone Shadowfall, and Infamous Second Son all go, hey, drones. Pretty cool.
Okay.
Pretty future.
I thought we were just thinking of every insane insane shooter because I was like, did Battlefield Hardline come out in 2014?
I don't think they had drone photos.
Have. No. And that you were just.
Also, no.
Cops?
Yeah, no. It's completely unrelated to drones. I was just thinking of Muck.
But of course that didn't come out in 2014 because that had to be announced and then disappear for a while and then come back.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true. So it was 2015.
No, it was probably 2016.
No, just, it was 2015. Okay. I was just looking.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Drones are cool and the future. And multiple people woke up to that in 2014, evidently. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed Infamous Month. This game's fucking rule, except for 2. Fuck you, 2.
Yeah, 2, especially when it's like, let's go to the lighted part of the city. It's like, you just made the game really bad for no reason.
I understand not loving that part.
Yeah.
My problems are so beyond that. Like, it isn't that, but I totally get it.
Oh, yeah. There's 100 like, other things, but that's like the extra cream of like, what were you thinking?
I really enjoyed the DLC for 2.
Yeah, that was surprisingly good.
I could recommend that over playing 2. Maybe don't ever play 2. I did not remember the Zeke storyline being so insane in Second Son.
Yeah.
That mission structure where it's like, this doctor from the older game is this guy's brother. Okay, we'll kill him now too off screen. What? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, that definitely felt a little incomplete and just sort of stuck in there.
Yeah, it's one of the few things that I can point out where I'm just like, what a weird arc that went on. But, you know, we were hearing about they were torn on which ending from 2 to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded like they started wanting to do evil and then they changed their mind. Yeah, I don't know. Like a lot of these Infamous games, you can feel when it starts wrapping up really fast, or you can see where like this third island should be more than a tiny strip of land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Second Son doesn't really seem to have that problem. In fact, it has the problem of having a cool place to have a final boss fight and then a fucking miserable nightmare box to have a final boss fight for the real final boss fight.
Yeah, that was a weird choice.
That sucks. I remember not liking how clumsy it is to do that final boss fight,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't remember exactly what was up with it. My head actually reduced the room down to what it was at a gameplay level geometrically. So I didn't remember where you were. I just remembered Nightmare Box. Remember the exact shit I would get caught on in the room. Remember the exact nooks where it's like, well, now you're cornered and dead.
My brain's trying to remember. It's the big thing, right?
Yes, the huge thing.
Yeah, big rock monster in the tiny room.
I just remember getting annoyed going for the plat, doing my second run, going, I just need to get out of here.
Yeah. But no, Infamous Month was really great. And I'm looking forward to our Horizon stream, which will have happened by the time this comes out. Hopefully we're alive. And
hopefully we're alive, not still live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alive, not still live.
Yeah, this is just your pregame for before you do, what was it, StarCraft 64?
Never. I also appreciate that we're going to get to check out the BioShock games. A lot of people want to get educated, maybe pick up some divergent views.
Yeah, let's fucking go, baby. Love those 2 games and the DLC, and that's it.
So wait a second. But yeah, I'm genuinely very excited. I haven't played BioShock 1 for realsies since the 360 launch.
Yeah, it'll be weird seeing this game run.
Like, really well, yeah. Yeah. We've got the PS4 version, which the performance gets boosted heavily by the PS5. And it's pro-enabled, so it's doing some higher-res thing. I'm pretty fucking jazzed for that. But that's basically all I've played other than Story of Seasons in the last week. Story of Seasons continues to have new mysteries and new revelations. For example, I think the only shortcoming that I've actually run into in this game is that at no point does being the master of livestock make a lot of sense.
Huh.
Because they don't have a way to make it easier. So you could literally get to the point pretty quickly where your entire day is consumed by brushing and milking cows.
I mean, that's not so bad.
You're like, there are worse way to die.
Yes.
Yeah,
wait, what if you get a wife? Can she just do that? I don't know.
I wouldn't know. I'm still a part of that Sigma male grind set.
Fair.
That is, I'm a millionaire who's living by himself. But at least I can cook. At least I'm not going to the diner with my millions of dollars being like, feed me, I can't cook. But yeah, I'm excited because I feel like I'm coming to a point where I'm finally going to wrap up on that game somewhat. I have spent over 76 hours on the Switch and PC versions combined.
Yeah.
I don't regret a minute of it. It is just really interesting to hit this end zone where it's like, I have four parallel dimensions that each exist in every season so I can eternally grow spring, summer, fall, and winter crops. I have these giant leagues of makers and all these other things just operating at any given time, and all these things make sense to me except for the cows. Like, I can't manage that many cows. What? And there's so many varieties too. Oh yeah, I should explain the one mechanic here that is key to this overwhelming aspect. Okay. So like everything else in Story of Seasons, your crops, your, you know, stuff, you get star ratings. And the higher the stars, the more it sells for. So you get 1 to 10 stars. And like if you caught a really impressive fish, it might be an 8 star. For livestock, when it comes to chickens with eggs, cows with milk, bison, etc. Or buffalo. You can only get a max of 3 stars on your first generation. You have to breed subsequent generations to raise the star count. Like to raise the cap on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it only
chocobos.
And it only goes up by 1 star each time. So I need to impregnate a cow. Wait a week.
Pregnant.
Raise the calf. It becomes an adult. Do it again 8 more times.
Whoa.
Right? Or I guess it would be 6. It'd be 6 more times. But if you want a variety of livestock, your big barn is already full, right? Like I've got 2 of each type of goat. I got buffalo. I got goats. I got sheep. I got an alpaca. The alpaca is great. The sound it makes is so good. It's like, and it waves its neck. I'm like, holy shit. I need to look up alpaca footage. But it's like insanely overwhelming in that way. Meanwhile, I go over to the big coop and it's like, there's just chickens. There are 2 types. And I'm like, okay, well, there's definitely enough space in the big coop for me to have that many generations of chickens, right?
Maybe they just intend for you to be like, I only care about alpacas or something like that. Like you have to choose one.
I can't close off my heart though. Like, how do you do that?
I'm sorry, Dan. That's what they want.
Oh, that sucks.
Can you make multiple barns?
I can, but you have to feed them all. And I don't know. I don't want a whole season that's taken up by growing fodder.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I don't want to lose my fortune over grass. Like that seems insane. So yeah, I don't know. But I think eventually what I'm going to have to do is just like give some of the livestock away to the forest sprites, which is a service they offer.
Ooh. Mm. Will they have a lovely happy life or do they just outright say, "Yeah, we're going to
I don't know.
We're going to grind them."
And it's like, will you take care of my cow? Sure, yeah. You want to come over next weekend for burgers? What? Excuse me?
Is it vegan?
No.
Oh.
But yeah. I don't know. They're supposed to be nice to them, but I haven't done it once. My heart, it's complicated. I can't commit to that, right?
Right.
Like, it's difficult, man.
Yeah, I guess you're just supposed to get rid of the old versions, like,
I know,
whenever you get the new Star one.
That's not an old version. That's my cow.
I'm sorry. Outdated. You need to get the firmware update.
Look, it's bad enough that I named my first cow Moo, all caps, and my second cow Moo 2. But, like, I don't want to get rid of Moo.
Dan, that first cow is the PS4 of cows. The PS5 is out now.
No! I don't care if this cow has the SSD.
Box up the cow, send it back in.
No! Damn it. But yeah, so that's the only moral complexities happening in Story of Seasons Pioneers of Olive Town. I'm enjoying that game. Hoping to wrap it soon. Finally getting the ability to pick up 9 crops at a time instead of 1.
Whoa.
There's a really long quest line for that, and part of me goes, I hope someone makes a mod someday where they just let you do that by default. But anyway, That's it for me. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
I heard you played a game demo that broke my heart.
Yeah, I'll start with that, sure.
Sure, yeah, let's fucking rip that Band-Aid off.
Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires released a demo this week.
Oh, cool. I was so excited.
So yeah. Excited. They fixed nothing.
God damn it.
Absolutely
of course
nothing.
Not.
It's been like four years, right?
Yes, 4 years.
It's been four fucking
years. It plays the same. It might feel worse, but it's... It has that awful combat system. It's mash the button and your character does a weird elaborate animation that doesn't feel connected to what you're hitting at all. The combat's terrible. It feels like the map they show you on for the tutorial missions, which is all you get in this demo, is literally just a chunk cut out of the open world.
Yeah.
Like, just here's this like square mile around this one fort. It's like, that's not cool. At all. This is just an open. This is an empty field with a couple places, unit places on it.
Like, dude, you get to go out on the front lawn. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely terrible. Don't even think about picking it up. You can download the demo and experience how bad if you want. But that's it. They add a new character though.
Ooh.
Some character that's like this is Dong Zhou's daughter that may or may not exist. We're not sure if she was killed.
I love Dynasty Warriors.
So, she's like a goth girl or something.
Oh, okay, cool.
That seems time appropriate, sure.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate that it continues to feel like all the talented people are working on the licensed ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least the Samurai Warriors series is still somewhat good.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they were thinking, even making this. Like, Did Dynasty Warriors 9 do well in Japan or something?
I don't know, man. I'm not under the impression that it sold like gangbusters or something.
Because it's just easily the worst one of these they've ever made. So I don't know why you wait 4 years and come out with this. Like, it just seems like you just move on to the next thing and then you make an Empires of that, whatever that ends up being. Because this is unacceptable. It runs now, though, unlike on the PS4 where the 9 couldn't even run.
Progress.
Yeah, it runs mostly
13 frames a second.
Look, all they needed was the equivalent of an RTX 2070.
Yes.
And they could finally get their game to run.
There's still one point where I was like, there's nothing happening. Why is it dropping to like mid-40s? All I'm doing is looking through two transparencies at once. I guess that's too much.
Look, Bob, I'm sure by the time it comes out, variable refresh rate will be in the PS5.
I think it comes out next week or something stupid,
Bob,
like that.
Bob, you could say it comes out 8 months from now and it would still be just as likely because it seems like it's never going to fucking happen.
Right?
What the hell is wrong with Sony and why haven't they been sued?
I don't know.
This is insane. Could you imagine a phone manufacturer getting away with this?
Yeah, it's
for a year and a half.
It's ludicrous. I have no idea what the holdup is on this.
So here's my theory.
Okay.
And it really is just a gross theory. I'm shooting from the hip here. I haven't talked to any devs. They have like a triple buffer VSync seemingly in the PS4.
Uh-huh.
And in the PS5, I have to wonder if it's still triple buffer or whatever. But I feel like in order to implement VRR, they have to just fundamentally break how they do that on the back end for every game. They're like, yeah, this is breaking a lot of shit. That's the only reason it could have taken this long.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Because otherwise, you're just risking a lawsuit. Like, they really are.
Right.
Anyway, that's my theory. It sucks that demo turned out like that.
Yeah, no, it's really upsetting that they would even try and release this. There's a character creator. I didn't even want to mess with it.
Okay.
Yeah. I also played more Doom Eternal DLC.
Cool.
I'm still having fun with it, but I am starting to be like, man, I don't really like these new enemy types that you've laid your literally one way to kill them. Like that.
Yes, I also really hate those.
Yeah, it's like, okay, guys, I get that these were underutilized weapons, but this is a bad way of doing it. Make me think of DMC DMC.
Have you considered that those weapon mods you made might have been bad?
Yeah, like switch your plasma rifle to bad mode and it no longer does anything that you want it to.
You know, I learned to appreciate the microwave beam.
The microwave beam has uses, but the auto shotgun one with the rock amps is just like, oh, no. You made something that isn't useful.
Yeah, the one that upsets me about the plasma rifle one is the other mod for the plasma rifle builds up power as you shoot normally.
Yeah.
And then you get to unleash that. So it does something while you're not using the mod. Whereas the mod for the beam, whatever, the proton pack, does nothing while you shoot normally. So you're gaining nothing by using it. Except for it's the only way to kill this one thing.
Yes.
And then what honestly upsets me even more is the things that can only be killed by the charge punch. Because the charge punch, I just let it go willy-nilly because it usually goes off on accident when I'm trying to do a normal kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then when it comes to an enemy where he's invincible to everything but that, it doesn't feel good. It's like, oh, I guess I'm just dead because I used that twice and didn't realize it. And now he's spawned and I'm dead.
Oh, yeah. It's that one that fucks you up when it touches you once.
Yeah, he touches you. Your whole vision goes green. You can no longer dash and your health is draining slowly.
I don't know a single person alive who likes that enemy. Where everyone's like, I could maybe appreciate Armor Man, not Cursed Prowler.
I can kind of appreciate Cursed Prowler in the same way that I appreciate the poison head crabs in Half-Life 2. It's like, you're going to make me miserable for a little bit, but there isn't that many of you, and you do at least have a design.
I would be fine with them if they could take damage from other stuff, and it just wasn't... was harder. Instead, it's like, I've used these two punches before he poisoned me. I will now just die.
Yeah,
the combat sequence is over.
If they just gave me a punch as soon as he hit me, I'd be like, okay. Instead, I gotta start forging for nuts. And then look around for you and slowly bumble my way toward you.
But yeah, I don't think those are good design choices that they made. I think it's other cool stuff. And it's fun in general, but it definitely is deterring me from playing it more.
Yeah. I imagine you're pretty close, because I feel like that's the last enemy they introduce.
Probably. It seems like the kind of junk you do near the end.
Quick random question.
What's up?
Would you say Ni No Kuni remastered on PS4, the original,
yeah,
is worth $5.87?
I couldn't stand the combat in that, but other than that, it seems fine.
It looks really pretty.
It looks great. It's visually amazing.
Probably for that much, yes.
I was like, $5 seems all right for me to go, ooh, okay.
Let me see, what else? Oh, right, I played Unpacking.
Oh,
that thing that we were afraid of.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass, so I was like, sure, I'll try this out.
Okay.
That game's kind of depressing.
No, shit.
Not in the way you might expect. Not in the way the game designers meant it to be. Like, that is its own thing of, like, you learn about this person's life by unpacking their things. It's in that way of, like, man, this person's basically exactly my age, but maybe, like, 1 or 2 years older.
Uh-huh.
And they're right out of high school moving out. And you get to unpack and have perfect places in your home for all the things you own. And, yeah, they live on their own. It's like this weird, Bob, like, was this person not in America, I assume?
Bob.
Their parents rich?
Okay, you remember, what is the name of that Sunday comic they turned into a cartoon show that Adult Swim picked up after it finished? Baby Blues or something?
Oh, that, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that wasn't an Adult Swim thing, they just syndicated it.
Oh, I know.
It's like a horrible ABC. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That and Mission Hill, I was listening to a podcast a long time ago, doesn't exist anymore, where they talk about, they have a certain level of ire towards both of those shows and anything like it, because it's like, these people just came straight out of college and are like, I'm going to live on my own and have disposable income.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck you.
Right. But the neat thing in here is apparently this is the second game made by the guys who did Assault Android Cactus, which is the first good Unity game I played ever.
he's not wrong, but insane.
And you literally pick up the figure of the main character is like one of the things that the person you're unpacking for has. So you always see that in the background. And it's like, oh, that's neat.
I'm going insane over here trying to find out the name of that fucking comic strip/show. So I type in Adult Swim shows, baby. And it pops up with a Rick and Morty clip of baby.
Of course. I was like, it's going to be Stewie, but no, it's that.
It's a fucking baby Morty, of course. God damn it.
You tried.
But yeah, I don't think I'll play more of this, but it's perfectly fine, man. It's a well-made game, neat yep. concept. Mm-hmm. I would definitely play it on my PC over the Xbox like I did. I don't know why I played it on the Xbox. I was just... I forgot that I even had the PC Game Pass would have it too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's different, yeah.
This is a game very much better with mouse and keyboard. Mouse specifically.
That checks out. And this is really stupid, but it's true.
What's up?
There's a chance it supports mouse and keyboard on Xbox.
Oh, maybe.
The Xbox is very progressive in that it accepts mouse and keyboard as a very normal type of input. It's just up to each dev whether or not they allow that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I only unpacked like two houses, so it wouldn't be a big deal to switch over to the Xbox. Or sorry, switch over to the PC.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I want to go through it.
Yeah, its name is Baby Blues. It's just the least searchable thing in existence. Of course.
Cool. Let me see. I also played Genshin.
Okay.
What is this?
A Genshin Impact, the large hit Chinese game.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Year three.
They're doing their New Year's festival, basically.
Okay.
They have a cool thing where they have shadow puzzles.
And
they showed up in Resident Evil 7,
uh-huh.
where you just move around this articulately made wooden thing.
Yes.
And if you angle it with the light properly, it makes a shape.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, this is really neat. The first shape they have is a house, and that was the last thing I expected it to be, so I just sat there spinning it. it gives you 2 minutes before it gives you a hint and shows you what the shape you're trying to make looks like. So I was literally like, I have no idea, guys. What do you mean it's a house?
So for anyone who wants to simulate what this might look like, go watch our Resident Evil stream
yes.
of Resident Evil 7.
Uh-huh.
That gives you an outline to try and fill in.
Yes.
So that's cheating compared to this
one. Like, here's a box with three triangles. Make a spider.
I'm just saying that part of the stream was really dire.
But then after that, it gave me like a boat and a kite. And I was like, these are easy. These are things I associate with what you would make a shadow box out of.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is well done. Cool. Nice. They also did an update yesterday where they added in weird censored versions of costumes for characters. Only like four characters.
That is a Chinese government thing, I believe. I believe the Chinese government was like, these characters are too lurid.
Too based.
Which, by the way, they didn't even pick like the most extremely... skimpy clothed characters, which is very strange.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I think it's because they're all characters that are prominent in the story, and two of them you just get for free, or at least one of them you do.
Yeah, I was gonna say like.
So maybe that was it. I'm really glad that they didn't make these mandatory.
Yeah, they are just worse looking costumes. It like I understand Rosaria, like she is the more skimpy of the outfits, but they did it for Amber. And Jean, who are like the most minimal amount of cleavage imaginable, and they're like, no, cover it up.
Sounds like they're just disappointed. Cover it up.
Go to your room.
It's just strange. I don't know. But yeah, that it being the Chinese government thing totally makes sense. I wonder if they're just going to slowly roll these out for every character, and they can't do it all at once. Like, it's too much work. Because that is a ton of characters. You know, if they think that these characters are too much, Jesus, that's literally everyone.
That's only what I was informed by somebody. That could entirely be bullshit. And they just decided to make alternate costumes and give them out, which seems strange because all the other ones cost money.
Right.
So I have to assume that there was something.
Yeah, the other ones are all like either money or you do an event to get them. And they actually are significantly different, whereas these are very much like they're the base costume, but with weird little alterations that don't look good.
Yeah.
Strange thing. And other than that, all I played was Windjammers 2, which me, Dan, and KZ all played. Did you play it, Phil?
No, I did not play
it. It's on Game Pass.
It is.
So if you have Game Pass and you're interested, good way to check it out.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, my experience with that was the AI being insanely difficult. Like, I couldn't get past one on easy mode. I couldn't beat anyone.
Well, this is what happens when they're like, we're going to make one, and we're collabing with the competitive Windjammers community, which I believe is just Windjammers France.
But that looked really neat. Great art.
Mm. Yeah, it's
lots
fun.
Of characters. It's real fun. Yeah.
It's doing like that 2D like animated art thing that reminded me of like Streets of Rage is doing now with 4, where it's like instead of sprites, it's like more like hand drawn looking, at least.
Mm.
Yeah, it's got a similar art style to that.
Yeah.
Not as many frames though.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, of course not. Of course not. But I do like the look of it. If you've played Windjammers before, the flying disc arcade game from like over what, like 25 years ago by this point.
Yeah, they're about, yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're trying to get into the opposite person's goal by throwing the disc, but it's basically like a fighting game because there's 18 different inputs in this game, doing quarter circles and doing supers and stuff. It's more cracked out than the first one. When we play as that one character, that super is put sparkles on the disc, and depending on which direction you hit the stick, it teleports the disc in a different direction.
Yeah, it always starts in the middle, slams to one side, and slams to the opposite. So the only way the person knows which way it's actually going is they need to pay attention to what the first change is and run in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
Unhinged.
Yeah,
there's crazy super moves, and there's also they add the jump button, which lets you spike it.
It's very hard because you'll get like a fly up type of throw, and if you're fast enough to be able to do the jump, that spike is so satisfying. There are also a bunch of stages. We played the casino one where the disc is a poker chip, and before each serve, they decide randomly how many points that one's worth from 1 to 8.
Yeah. That's insane.
It is
hilarious.
And set play is up to 15 points. Yeah, so you only need that twice.
What fucked up Calvin Ball rules are these?
I know, because it's a casino, so they're going bloop, bloop, and then it lands on 8. Bob gets it, goes from 8 to 16 and wins around, and I'm seething.
Yeah, real quick, for anyone who did, yeah, you only need 15 points on the default.
Yeah.
So 8 is over half of that.
Yes.
Yeah, in the default game mode, you get 3 and 5 points.
Yeah.
Or 2 if you get it, like if you have the ball just fall on the ground.
Yeah.
No one
which is funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So it's normally not that high a scoring game. Mm-hmm. So getting 8 from one thing is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. But then that thing will sometimes be like, you're not going to see that 8 ever again. 1, 1, 2,
yeah.
1, 1, 3.
You guys hit the 8 while I was out of the room, and I'm like, there's no way. And I come back in the room, and it just goes, 1, 1, 2,
yeah,
because
we
three.
Just went 8, and you're like, excuse me?
What the fuck?
This is this also has the true fighting game secret stuff, where I went online at launch, and someone was thumbing through all the character selects, and I'm like, they can't choose who to pick, and then a hidden character appeared, and they played as them.
Yeah, like some fucking Marvel 1 playing as roll shit.
Yeah.
It's like left, left, down, down, right, right, down, down, left, left, up, right, up, right.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those. Yeah. They're like, we really want to play Venom, but fucked up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is one of those games where you can immediately tell if they fucked it up, because Windjammers needs to feel perfect, and they pretty much nailed it while adding additional moves and additional characters with stuff. It was good to see old characters again. I'm like, I know how your super works. I know how all of this is supposed to go.
Yeah.
I think they're using the same voice clips from older characters. It was very weird.
I'm really glad that we have like an approachable Windjammers for people that's just new and available on platforms. It feels correct. Like, it doesn't have super latent emulation.
Right. Oh, yeah,
down
yeah.
Or something.
Uses rollback.
Yeah. Like, this is a good way to play this, I think. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you look into the original afterwards, but...
Oh, yeah.
Good fucking version, I think. I need to spend more time with it for
yeah.
sure, but...
But yeah, it's free on Game Pass. If you don't have something with Game Pass, it's like $20.
Yeah, I think it's on the new release sale for like 10% off or something, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
maybe that's only for PlayStation Plus, though.
Yeah, yeah, probably. They do that. They do that a lot. So I just picked it up over there just because I want to share clips easier.
Yeah. Yeah, it really be like that. Yeah.
I would honestly really like to play with the PlayStation controller. That fake D-pad they have on the series now, like, it's not even a D-pad anymore, it's a weird diamond.
It's a diamond designed for going through menus on the dashboard and nothing else.
Guys, it's not a fucking diamond, it's clearly a pepperoni. It's just a pepperoni
that was stepped on and was hanging out on the street for 10 days.
It's like one of those pepperonis where you put the pizza in the oven and then it comes out the other end and it's just a cup with grease in it.
Oh, yeah, it's an old world pepperoni.
Yes. One of those like shrunk up so it cups all the grease in it.
Yeah. I appreciate it when I'm menuing through things, but they made a terrible D-pad for video games, which is very unfortunate.
I don't hate the D-pad as much as Bob. Does the D-pad work on that game?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. But yeah, I too would like to play it on PS5. I just thought I would check it out on Game Pass because...
Yeah, safe bet. You never know. They might have just tricked everyone. It was actually, you know, it played like shit and it's like disc jam.
So if someone could do NeoTurf next...
Ooh, oh man, NeoTurf 2. What if Robert Randolph becomes HD?
Robert Landall. Just like absolute Chad energy.
There's only two ways that can go, Dan.
Mm.
Either it becomes the thing that you will never shut up about how much they fucked that game up, or it becomes number one collective game of the year.
Or within a week, there is an @NeoTurf2 in the Gigaboots fan Discord. It's just like, we're doing it. Golf tournament, go.
We're like, I'm sorry, it hit number one.
Yeah.
Everyone.
That would be incredible. Man. Did you play anything else, Bob?
No, that was it.
Okay. Hey, Casey.
Hello.
Did you play anything else?
Yeah. I put a lot of time since last podcast into Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel because I had only done like maybe half a day when we recorded last time. Man, I'm so happy a card game I like has money in it in a video game form. It's been pretty rough. I've just been so pleased with everything going on with that.
You know, in Resident Evil, you get a square crank.
Yeah.
Now imagine the other end of that square crank has a knife on it,
mm-hmm.
and imagine you're turning it, and that knife is in me. Just because you're like, it's so good. This card game has money, and it's well done. And I'm just like, I can't even imagine that from over here.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about my route through Yu-Gi-Oh! Video games, which were quirky ones on consoles. Like this one's a tactics type of thing based on real wars.
Mm-hmm.
This one is an RTS. That morphs into a turn-based RPG on GameCube.
Yes.
There's stuff like that.
There's a long and storied history of Yu-Gi-Oh! Games that are quirky.
Yeah, they are quirky. And then the portables usually had some yearly sims.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally
that are like JRPGs, basically. They're structured like Pokemon games where you wander around and play cards with people.
Yeah, yeah. There's a mix of some of them that do that, some of them that are very much just dual characters and go through a ladder. And then they finally put out that one on consoles a few years ago and then put it out again, but just added DLC to it. And I'm like, I like this because it's all I have. But now I have something with a good budget and I really enjoyed it. We did a few streams of it. That was a good time figuring some stuff out. They fixed various issues that lobbies were having for spectating and other stuff. What were you going to say, Phil?
If you tried this and bounced off, you should do what I did, which is link the PC version and use the PC version to do like your housekeeping.
Yeah, it's
a million times easier than trying to navigate that shit with the controller.
Yeah, especially when you're digging into filters for card lists and you're trying to you're dismantling and crafting stuff. It's much easier to do a cursor.
There's still a little bit to be desired with their filters because I don't think there's an option to just be. Okay, only show me stuff I have and that fit these conditions, because it will show you everything, period.
Yeah, yeah, they need to tighten up things slightly. I did notice in the recent update, before, if you crafted away something that was really valuable, it would still appear but grayed out if it was gone. This recent update just got rid of them. So when I filter of every single ultra rare I own, it doesn't show ones that I crafted 3 days ago, or dismantled, rather. So I do appreciate not having to scroll through old stuff like that. But yeah, there's not much else to say about it. I'm just really happy that it continues to be fun as I grind my way through matches and stuff. The other game I played was I did a death stream for Dead Space 1 this week because I hit a stream goal last month to go through those in anticipation because they announced that remake of one being done I've never played Dead Space before. I just knew that it was like Resident Evil 4-esque with, you know, third person horror type thing in space. Boy, does it really do, it just feels like a Resident Evil game just going through it, especially with all the monsters where it's like, yeah, this really is just like Ouroboros or Las Plagas style enemies the whole way through. But a focus on always cutting the tentacles with bullets to like take them out and stuff. The plasma cutter feels real satisfying. I think the tech of just chopping things up is really satisfying. Like going through it. And I like that you pretty regularly upgrade your armor so it just gets better and better looking.
They need that regular rising tech so you can cut them anywhere instead of just the limbs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be good. But it really is satisfying when you up that fire rate. So you're just giving the hell out of everything. And the other weapons are cool. I only ended up getting two extra ones because I didn't feel like spending a bunch of money on like every single type. So I got like the Ripper that like shoots a saw blade out like 5 feet in front of you. So you just kind of walk back and forth as you're chopping them up.
Oh yeah, I remember that movie being cool.
Yeah, and then the All Fire is just shooting it out, which I did not notice for a while. And the machine gun, which has the dumbest All Fire of point the gun up and then little turrets around it spin and start shooting. So if you're surrounded, you're just
oh yeah, that was really weird but kind of cool.
People were like, this thing's bad. I didn't know you're supposed to hold it, but then when things got desperate and I did it, I'm like, oh, this is really good if you're surrounded by big enemies. There's not a lot of big enemies in the game compared to a lot of things that are like either half your height or incredibly small, but it helped me out in a couple of jams. Really, I feel like ambitious in some ways, where it's like you have the gravity stuff, where it's like you're in zero G now, so you kind of like point and then you can float over, and now you're standing on the ceiling or the side of a wall to complete puzzles. There are times you're in air, places with no air, so you have like an air meter and you have to get through it quickly. Now I say it's ambitious. It also gave me a headache. It's incredibly disorienting when they make you do puzzles that are like, deal with these enemies, but do all of this stuff by jumping to the wall, then jumping to the ceiling, and then try to remember where you were going in this room. And I end up not remembering where I'm even tracking. And some puzzles in this game are really bad. Where I was just kind of confused, and we're all like, I don't know where you're going. And they're like, I think you need to go on top of this rock that constantly is spinning metal things that are going to chop you into pieces. And I think you need to go past that, maybe. And on the way back, since you can't see it coming, I died over and over again trying to get back out in there. Because once you go out from that way, you have an air meter now, so you have to rush your way back. And it was getting a little rough. I think in general, it's a bit too long. I feel like it kind of ran out of things to throw at me. It just continued to throw big enemies and just said, just do this. Some encounters are, here are these enemies. Their arms have goo on them that explode. We're going to drop like seven and they're just going to start running at you now. And I'm like, I really would rather we not. Also, there are plenty of times where the game checkpointed me and said, this sequence is a big enemy. The checkpoint, you don't get healed between checkpoints or anything, so you're loading up, this thing's running at you directly because you have one hit. He touches you, you will now be watching a 20-second long death animation that we spent time on.
I mean, those are really strong.
It looks really cool. Please enjoy it 20 times.
Yes. I respect the fact that they have one for every single enemy in the game.
Yeah.
And the fact that Isaac Clarke is seemingly, as I believe Died described it, is like a tube of ground beef packaging, because the way that man explodes over the most basic of things is insane. My favorite part of the game by far is they're like, you're gonna go outside and you're gonna run across the floor in space, but there's meteors raining down and you have to get behind cover, and every time I died, my torso blows up, the camera's locked to my ass, and I'm bouncing everywhere for 15 seconds.
I mean, KZ.
Yes.
You're hit by an asteroid. I'm sorry. That's realistic.
No, that is realistic. I just think it's funny the level of Looney Tunes pinball bouncing where I'm going across a trench. I'm going across everything, and that's how I learned, wow, they really did rig the camera to your legs. Not your torso.
Yeah. Your legs.
Yeah. That's where the soul is kept.
Yes, it is.
Least Fred to Clark, I mean, you hear it when he screams and stomps, right? Where do you think your soul is coming from?
That was a good stomp.
The stomp in Dead Space is one of my favorite things in all of 7th Gen sound design-wise. It is so unbelievable. It just sounds like two cars hitting each other.
Yes, I really like it. Once again, Stream Chat, known to be the most malicious people on Earth, when they go, in Chapter 2... KZ, did you know the first letter of every chapter spells something? I never really looked until we were done, and I'm like, why do they do this? It literally spells out the end game of that game.
Yeah, it's the largest spoiler you could give someone.
And I'm like, why are you doing it every time with you motherfuckers? I swear to God. toward the end, I was kind of just getting exhausted and bored of it, because toward the end, it's just... long escort of this thing, fight the waves of enemies, and I'm like, I'm pretty tapped out here.
Okay, hear me out. Uh-huh. Okay, Resident Evil 4 got to be made 4 times and squished into a 16-hour game.
Yes,
Dead Space got to be made once and stretched to an 11-hour game.
yeah, that is true.
I think about that a lot. Like no other dev in the world has gotten to make their game 3 or 4 fucking times and then go put it all in anyway.
I think what helps Resident Evil 4 is it has those cutscenes in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Resident Evil 4-esque cutscene in Dead Space. They're like, things are fucked up. You're gonna watch this behind a window 25 times.
Yeah, you don't at any point have an alien come out that's 3'2", and it's just like, hey, Isaac, try to solve this one.
Yeah, it is one of those games affected by the Half-Life 2 euphoria that just, like, exploded at that point. Of like, no, cutscenes are bad. You're just going to be in first person or in third person, look at what happens.
Yeah, I was talking about it on stream, yeah.
At least in the perspective of Dead Space, it's a horror game.
Yes.
And it works for it in that way. I see how not having cutscenes would...
It does, but it has like a limit, because I remember BioShock has those. It has moments where you're behind a thing, an event will happen.
Yeah, and I fall asleep.
Yes. And Dead Space says, what if we multiply that by 15?
Ooh.
Where I'm like, we're doing another one?
I would like to
the point that a late game one actually breaks through the thing and makes you fight an enemy, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what it was all building towards.
Yes.
They're like, fight one of the mini-boss enemies now with the exposed back.
I'd recommend anyone who's interested in Dead Space has played it, so that way you don't get spoiled by it. Go look up on Ars Technica's War Stories on YouTube. They have one for Dead Space.
Uh-huh.
That's how I knew in advance that the director of Dead Space was definitely making a new product, because everyone who's shown up on that series was shilling something. He was the only one that had nothing to announce. And then right after that, they announced the PUBG thing headed by him.
Oh my God. That's really funny.
But yeah, his commentary was really good. Like he talks at length about making that game, and he's like, yeah, during the boss where the tentacle grabs you, and it's just dragging you along the hallway and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that looked terrible at first, and we spent months looking at it just being dog shit.
Yeah.
How disheartening that was, where they're just like, it's just not fucking working.
Yeah, I didn't really talk about it a lot during my stream. That was one of the cooler things the game does, where occasionally they're like, it's going to grab you, and now you have to aim while being dragged.
Yeah.
And you have to hit that point, and they even do that at the very end, and I'm like, this is, oh my God.
Yeah, they do some really cool shit in that game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really impressive for the time.
Oh, yeah, because this also came out before Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
As well. So when they do giant flesh Plagueis-esque monster, I'm like, this is the most Resident Evil boss I've fought that isn't a Resident Evil game. If you change their weak points from yellow to red, it is in fact a Resident Evil boss. Because they instead make yellow or orange like the weak point in this. It was really good. In terms of like some of the boss encounters and enemy stuff, but I kind of feel like some of the puzzle stuff, the disorienting like zero G stuff kind of took me out of it a lot, where I was a bit exasperated. I believe the call at one point said a thing, and then I said, "Are you trying to tell me this is meant to be sipped?" Because that may have been that may have come up at some point, and I'm like, I don't know, guys.
It's balanced for sip.
And then
didn't we end up playing through that in like two sittings or something with,
yes,
with fake
because
aggro?
Fake aggro's like, no, this makes sense, stick to the plan. It was either one or two sittings, and it was unhinged.
Yes.
Yeah, this was in the days before we would stream for an insanely long period of time. So the thought of we're gonna eat this gigantic game in two sittings is kind of nuts. To me back then.
Yeah, right? Yeah. How long to beat was like 10 and a half hours, and I had like three more hours on top of that, just because, you know, some parts where it was just like, you need to grab, there are meteors in the room, you need to use kinesis to bring it to you, to then shoot it to a tube, to shoot it outside to burn it, then you're going to fight five waves of enemies.
I forgot about that mechanic, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did like that, especially when you grab like an explosive thing and then shoot it at them. But there was one checkpoint there that made you do like a 6-minute setup, and I didn't know you had to run to one room to get a checkpoint. So I just died like six times on it, and I kept doing it again. I'm like, I'm malding a little bit, but I'm really excited for 2, because the entire time there were people in the call who played all of them that said that 2 is a... They liked 2 a lot more, and it handled some of the horror elements better and had more diversity environments, and How Long to Beat cut the playtime by an hour compared to 1. So I'm very excited. In all areas.
Yeah, I what was that, Bob? You go ahead.
I didn't say
anything. Oh, I thought you made a mouth sound like you were about to talk. What I was going to say is, for me, the immediate turnoff with 2 was just that I didn't think the game's story made sense to need a sequel or have a sequel. So I was kind of like, I'm not sure that I want to show up to this party. And then they announced Dead Space 3, and I'm like, no, this is the nightmare I thought 2 was going to be.
the weird thing was, 2 is, I also heard at the time of like, I think Fake Aggro even was like, hey, this is bad, actually. I heard a lot of things going, no, this one more action-oriented was less scary. So I'm still excited to play it at some point.
I'm excited for 2, because everyone was just kind of talking about it does anticipation horror better, because I didn't really feel any spooks in Dead Space 1 at all. It was just like, it's, you know, it's like action. You're in the enclosed space. That's about it. So I'm interested in how they'll do that. And then the third one, people were just talking about things that were forced to be cut from that game. Where they're like, they had a reason for the co-op to actually take place, but they weren't even given the time to actually make it real. but it was like promoted as it, where they're like, your co-op partner's like supposed to be fake or something, but they couldn't even put that aspect into the game at all.
Cool,
because they were trying to do some like abstraction or something.
Mm.
But I'm excited to eventually co-op 3 and play it on PC through Origin, because apparently the Xbox ones don't work because of online passes.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you, EA. Big fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs up.
Yep.
So just curious, Are you gonna segue directly from Dead Space 3 to Lost Planet 3?
People keep trying to get me to play Lost Planet 2, and I'm like, I know, I'm not doing it.
I don't know. Dead Space 3 and Lost Planet 3 occupy the same space in my brain of, we just fucking don't care. Here's your co-op game. Leave us alone.
Lost Planet 3, though, is even worse, because that's another one I'm laying at the feet of Inafune.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because it was a Spark Productions game, and yes. Spark Unlimited. I'm sorry, Spark Unlimited. And literally, all they would do is be like, "We'll make this game for 40% of what the next cheapest person will make this game for." And I think every game they did almost had Inafune involved somehow.
Yeah,
it was messed up.
Because their last two games before they shut down were Lost Planet 3, which was a Capcom thing, so of course he would have been involved with it somehow. And Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z, which he was also involved in.
Yes.
Yeah, but he wasn't there for Legendary, I don't think. That'd be impressive.
That was 5 years prior. And then you watch the gaming historian's Mega Man Universe video.
Oh,
where no. he's like the developer for Mega Man Universe had never made a game like this before, but it was fine because Inafune chose them because they were the cheapest option.
Yeah, I thought the tone of that video is a little too generous.
Yeah, anything apologetic for that man is just like, no, man, don't. Put out his laundry. That's what he left.
I mean, yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen more YouTube videos that are very clearly, we're going to go over everything he did during 7th Gen. That would be a fun time.
It would be interesting.
Man. It would be. Real interesting.
Lost Planet really did get hit by both that bomb and the bomb that Dev Space 3 has of this game that was originally single player and people liked, we're going to ruin it while making it a co-op game.
It was really weird because Lost Planet 2 is also, you know, just Monster Hunter's taking off on portables.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we need a four-player version of Lost Planet. It's like, do you understand what you just said?
Yeah, there was so much of that weird brain disease happening in 7th Gen.
Yeah, 7th Gen's rich, one might say. But yeah, I hope Dead Space 2 is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to try it someday.
Yeah, everything the way they described it to me, I'm like, I just need a step forward in everything that I'm doing here for me to be like, yeah, this is great. And if they can do that, if they can punch up the encounter design and stuff, I'll be pretty happy. I'm gonna try and get a stream of that done as soon as possible, because at the end of this stream we hit my goal, so I have to do death streams of Metal Gear Solid 1-4. This is how I die.
Oh, I thought you were also doing Rising.
Also Rising. Okay. Or Rising. I was mainly mentioning those because I haven't played those before ever.
Okay.
Yeah, but all of those were hit.
Cool.
This will be how I die. This will be my version of your Kingdom Hearts death streams. We're knocking that difficulty down. Because they went, wait a minute, isn't Metal Gear Solid 4 have 13 hours of cutscenes? I'm like, cool, it's just like Kingdom Hearts 3. Let's go. Because the how long to beat's like 18 and a half hours. And I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah, at least you cut out the load screens now. Sorry, the install screens.
Yes.
You'll have plenty of load screens, but you won't have the 30-minute install screens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I wonder if how long to be is based on before or after that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder.
Good fucking luck, KZ. Yeah, fucking Metal Gear Solid 3, what was that, 16 hours?
Yeah, it's 16 and a half, and then 4 is 18 and a half. I like the description. It's like, yeah, you should play 4 on easy. By the time you hit that part, you're just mentally defeated and exhausted.
Dude, by the time I hit that point, I had a fucking, what is the name? A P90, and I was just mowing people down. Stealth didn't matter to me at that point. I was on an extinction rampage.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, Dan, I can't believe you played it like that. I'm like, I can't believe they put the gun in my hand. I'm going with the field defense. They sold me the jorts.
That's right. You can't be blamed for your horrible fashion decisions if they tell you.
Exactly.
It's acceptable to wear if you were sold it.
You gave me a Metal Gear game where I could do headshots in first person with a P90 and kill in one bullet. That's on you, buddy.
Yeah, it's weird that there's not really nearly as much motivation not to use stealth in 4.
There is, in the worst way you can imagine, in a couple different parts.
Yes, so there's those parts that I'm not talking about, but the rest of the game,
yeah,
you can just cheese and just kill. But of course, you don't get the titles for like saving people or not killing people.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. For anyone who's interested in, hey, maybe KZ, you can stream it this way if you want. It's available on PlayStation Now.
Ooh, that would save me having to set up the PS3.
Yeah, that's a layer of difficulty you want to wrap on an already relatively difficult game, right?
Yeah, naturally. These will be the death streams where they kiss.
Ooh.
But yeah, that's all I played this week, so feels up.
The only thing really worth talking about is I played a little bit of the Monarch demo, the new game from one of the Persona guys. I like barely got into the actual thing before I had to do something else, though. This game has more money than the Caligula effect because they dubbed it.
Ooh.
Let's go!
It's really interesting. It still looks laughably cheap. I think it's rendering it like 1080 even on PS5, which is like please, well, please crank that up because it would help.
I guess that's four times the Vita's resolution.
Yeah. I guess. I also think the pre-rendered video are like 720. Oh. It's macro blocked shit.
That sucks.
Because it's like, this is also on Switch, so I guess they were like, we don't need to render it in a higher resolution because it's going to be on a Switch.
I'll upload it to YouTube at 720 and then put it, take it back down and put it on here.
So it's like the same, like, okay, weird, vaguely gothic school shit, something, ego, true self, blah, 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 blah. I like that it starts with a personality test.
Huh.
Like a one that your character is being given by, like, the head of the school. And then you get your score, which is number scores of the seven deadly sins.
What?
Okay.
Based on what you answer. But then it's like, it really got me invested a little bit, because it's like, okay, here's the sin that you have the most desire for. And it's like, well, that actually isn't a bad thing, because it positively reflects in you in this way. Like, I was looking through one of them, like, I went back and did the answers a couple times. And like, for envy, it's like, you compare yourself to other people a lot, but you actually became a better person from doing it because you strove for self-improvement. So that's interesting. All the cutscenes look like they were made in fucking MMD, like Toho characters reenacting Tom and Jerry from like 2009. They also encoded them wrong, so they stutter sometimes, which doesn't seem like which is not 100% not a stylistic thing, because it's the only fuck up with them. They also look like the cutscenes from Ultra Despair Girls, which I think were literally made in MMD, where it's just like you don't have any like. There's nothing tricking me that there's like a lens and there's not really any shaders. So it just looks very strange. But I am like, it intrigued me enough to buy it. Probably. It helps that the character art is really good. And you have your little Skrunko who is like an evil velveteen rabbit named Vanitas, who is also your merchant. And I think I have a picture of... I think I went and found his picture.
This is important.
Here's the...
Oh!
Yeah, that's pretty Skrunko.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we'll probably... already we have a contender for... this year's Skrumblo category.
God, they're already piling in. This and that Kirby thing. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God!
Yeah, please look forward to Elden Ring.
I'm trying to think if there's like anything else worth talking about, because I really didn't get to play very much of Monarch. I got like to move after the intro.
Ooh.
And that was it. The combat system, because it starts with an unwinnable fight, and then it like in media res almost, I guess, or I don't know. It starts with an unwinnable fight immediately and then cuts to something else. The combat system seems like it's going to be bad. Like, I maybe I'll be wrong, but it gave me really strong Idea Factory energy.
Ooh, that's a bad place to be.
Yeah, what does that mean? Does it mean it's an RPG with 18 systems you'll never use?
I thought you were going to say $18.
All I know about Idea Factory is they make battle systems with 45 mechanics in it that you don't need to use at all.
It just like gave me immediate Neptunia vibes because of like... like, because the first thing you do is like, okay, run close to them and like slash, and then like hit the button to slash them, and like you can move within the circle during your turn, and it gave me a very Neptunia vibe. The developers of this are Lancarse. I don't know how you fucking say their name. They developed this, and before this, it was Persona Q2 on the 3DS.
Huh.
And before that, Zanki Zero, which is like a visual novel first person dungeon crawler thing on the Vita. So they are definitely a Vita core developer.
Yeah, I'm looking up screenshots of this. This is so Vita. It's kind of crazy.
At least it doesn't look like complete shit like the Caligula Effect 2.
Yes. You could tell me this was a PS3 game that was ported from the Vita, and I'd believe you.
That's I haven't played anything else, that's all.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we should talk about the Podlords.
Oh, cool. I like the Podlords.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. You hear about them Podlords?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Money.
Yes, that's right, oh, fuck. It's the Podlords. Podlords such as E. Lee Broyles.
And you drop the Podlords on the ground again?
Fuck the Podlords. Corey Brown. Warmer Pepsi Man. Red Blaze 27. The Legend of Juicifrost. Suzu Shiro. Emperor Zero. Shibuya Gato. I'm not a richist. I just believe rich people should have basic human rights.
I love that South Park episode.
Danny Richardson. Rado. I'm here to cause chaos.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Oh, God.
My face when Gary Busey steals my goddamn identity.
Remastered.
WTF, Spider-Man. The Rock as Archer or Virgil.
Yeah, either or. Either one.
I guess they did the edit and didn't know what they made.
They're like, wait a second, it could be both. I made two images. Yeah.
Honestly, the hair's a bit closer to Archer, I feel like, but you know, yeah. Whatever you want.
I'd watch either.
I would, honestly.
That's true. I'll watch whatever fucking thing he plays video game character in. I don't care.
I don't know. It could be Rampage 2. I don't know if I want to watch that.
I haven't even seen Rampage 1. I bet it's great.
The Rock just needs to slick his hair all the way back. Then he'll be virtual. Master Duel has taught me that Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't have to get into NFTs. Some freaks are spending $1,000 just to craft all hand traps.
You don't even have to do that. Those people are insane.
Well, no, all, KZ, all.
Yes, I know all.
DFW, 3K. Man, I just want non-exploitive wages in healthcare. Why do Reddit mods gotta be like this?
I'm not getting... Isotope.
Shiny Mew. Kristen. Tonberry is very excited to be confirmed for Stranger of Paradise.
Oh, God.
Ow. It's so good. I've been wanting to see that. So
I'm
good.
Very sad we didn't actually get to see him explode.
God Hand Steam Deck Edition. I got a new promotion and a new reptile son. I am the best. Go me. Nothing bad ever happens to the Kennedy. This user has exploded.
Unfortunate.
Good luck unexploding. Kyle Bjork. Lordy Fars is mourning the loss of her father. No bit for a while. Good luck. May peace find you.
Take care of yourself.
Iron Agro. Blig de blue. Schligged its poo.
Oh, man. You let me in suspense.
Last second Podlord shenanigans.
Always.
Love wins.
Yeah! But a two-part emote available on Carl and my channel.
That's you on the right?
No, it's my dog.
Monster Hunter, rising and riding. By the time this big think dimension is out, I'll only have about 3 more days of work until I get my first day off of the year.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Jordan. Bob, I've decided to become a junker.
Why?
A junker?
Cooper Tank. Personally, I like Strangers in the Night or All My Tomorrows, but my way is also Kino.
Yeah, it works.
BN12. AG's Bird Facts. Good Delson is symbolized by the eagle, evil Delson by the crow, and AG by the empty wallet.
Oh, no!
Oh, that's tragic.
I'm not a cuck. Thor 2 is good.
God.
No, it's not.
Suit is so smart. Drive type cam. Zasterder.
Oh, shit. Oh,
this sucks. Become a become a pod lord to slap her bald head.
Oh God,
that's horrible.
Why would you show me this, pod lord? Why?
It's specifically targeting you.
I know.
Yes, it is.
Indigo Sykes. Respectfully, what am I supposed to do with a boy this pretty? Evil Lucario. Another evil Lucario that's totally not. Dot, 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 dot. A raccoon.
Pregnant pause.
Maxora! And then he steals your garbage.
Just knocks over a can on the way out. My grandmother once said, fancy food does not taste good. No matter what truth you try to hide, you cannot hide it. Aspiring Bamani ambassador Shinji 16 wants to remind you that you matter. You are valid, and you deserve to be happy. Why does the Scrimblo have a gun?
Oh no, not the Pokemon gun game.
I think that's coming out soon.
They put out a new trailer. I didn't put it in news, though. I forgot.
Virmvarm and Etch-a-Sketch. Thank you very much to our Pod Lord. Yeah, I know. I see the tiny image at first, and I'm like, what is wrong with his eyes? And then I click, and I'm like, what is wrong with his eye?
I'm testing my ability.
Dude, he just fucking said, I'm vegan. His hair started lifting up.
Oh, shit.
Thank you very much to our Pod Lords.
Thank you,
Pod Lords. Thank you, Pod Lords. And if you'd like to become a Pod Lord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBPodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you have access to many benefits such as early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when the format of those shows force us to leave ideas on the cutting room floor, and a patron-exclusive show one per month where you get to decide what good or bad thing we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com/GBPodcast. And if you don't have any money, you can always help us out by telling your friends. And if you don't have any friends, you can discover that your mother has fallen ill because a vampire in Egypt awakened his stand, which awakened her stand. And then you can get together with a bunch of your bizarrely muscular and flamboyant friends and go on a cross-world journey to get to Egypt within 90 days to kill him. And all of them die, so this isn't a good metaphor. Patreon.com/GBPodcast.
This was a bad metaphor. You're like, if you don't have friends, group up with your friends and go to Egypt.
I don't know. This sounds like self-improvement, if you ask me. So, we got news?
We do.
News? Let me look at this news. You know what? I'll get my insane news out of the way real quick. Epic Games is forming a new studio in Poland led by Plastic, the developers of Linger in Shadows and Datura.
Ooh.
They said their goal is to share Plastic's dope visions with the world, basically. Anyway, is what they said.
Oh, okay.
Linger in Shadows is cool as shit.
Yeah, I imagine with them in the power of the Unreal Engine 5, they could tear it apart and make something horrible.
Oh, yeah, horrifying. Absolutely. Oh, it will be unfucking real. I'm super excited. For people who don't know, Plastic is they've been a core part of the demo scene since like the 90s, making really cool, visually stunning shit. And Sony teamed up with them on the PS3 to do just that, but on the PS3. And then they tried to make a normal game with Datura, which was neat. And I don't know what they made after that. I think they said the name of the game was Bound, but I've never played it, never seen it. Not that I know of. That sounds cool. Looking forward to something coming out of that. Moving on, though. Tate Media or Tate Multimedia, don't know. Released a trailer for the new Cow the Kangaroo game, so I guess I can't pretend it's not happening anymore. It comes out summer 2022 and features, including, and I blacked one of these out so my co-host wouldn't see it until now, challenging combat, 3D platforming, touching story, powerful gloves, mean bosses, and dark powers.
Oh no. We got Dark Cow.
We're gonna have Cow too.
What?
He's gonna be like, I'm here to kill Praxis.
Oh yeah.
This is quite something. I was surprised by how good this looks. This looks like not as good as Crash 4, but adjacent to that.
But it also looks like it's doing big open environments.
Yes.
It
looks like it's going for like a Spyro thing.
Yeah, which is, it looked really good. I was floored. I was like, wow, yeah, I could see how like one of the Spyros or Crash trilogy things probably sparked this and then COVID delayed it.
Right. When I finished watching the video on IGN, they're like, do you want to watch the Bubsy video? I was like, I don't want to watch a Bubsy video.
No,
is it Bubsy being cast into hell? Then maybe.
I see the connection, but Jesus, this looks like it has so much more money than those Bubsy games.
Yeah, those Bubsy games clearly don't have any money.
Yeah, those games seem like a tax shelter.
So the interesting thing here is I wrote that headline of, I don't get to pretend it's not happening anymore. When I saw everyone talk about this, they're like, hey, they announced a new Cow the Kangaroo game. No, this was announced years ago. And people just apparently had the same mental reaction as me. It's like, it's not real shit. Like, they're treating it like a video game movie in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Who would believe you if you told me or told them a new Cow the Kangaroo game is coming out in 2022?
It's happening, I promise. Just give us more time. But yeah, no, this looks surprisingly nice. I would love to give this game a chance. I'm loving that we're getting more 3D platformers. It really sucked for a while there.
All right, and it leaves room for Blade Kitten to come back.
If that's the price I have to pay, I'm okay with it.
This is
I feel like if they make it a 3D platformer instead of a really floaty 2D one, it could be better.
Yeah, you can do a floaty 3D platformer.
I 100% want some hideous Blade Kitten revival.
Yes.
It spawns directly from the primordial spill at the back of a Hot Topic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if they go like, now she's a goth cat girl
and she's got like spike bangles.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, that sounds great. Blade Kitten adds
She's literally a girl boss, so she's like, yes, Giphy, do the war crime.
Still plays the song, weirdly enough. It still plays that chipper song as Skiffy dumps the toxic waste into the water line. We're gonna go to KZ because just like Cow the Kangaroo was totally announced for a new game this week, there is a new game announced from an equally important publisher and game franchise. Or KZ.
Yeah, you are correct. Crisis 4 got announced.
What?
In the form of, I saw they leaked it on a Chinese social media site, and 5 minutes later, no, they just officially announced it. They're making a new Crisis game.
Yeah, they made a weird
CG trailer where it's just like, nano suit. Ooh, the number 4.
So, like, do people give a fuck about Crisis?
That's the one response I've seen everywhere.
I've literally never heard. No, but it was my rig can run Crisis on high settings. It was never about, like, I don't know what kind of game Crisis is.
that's the thing.
Okay, so
it's like, I know that it's really resource intensive to run and can look really great. So, I have no fucking clue.
Step one. Alex Battaglia is the only confirmed person that I know for a matter of a fact.
Yeah, that guy seemed super hyped.
Yes.
Unreasonably so.
Yes.
We're lucky he wasn't in the middle of a DF Direct. We would have seen his erection.
Yeah, I think it was a John Lineman tweet that responded to someone saying, does anyone care about Crisis? Saying, me and Alex Battaglia do. Crisis 1's one of the best shooters of all time.
I've been wanting to give that series a chance, but they kept doing really bad versions of it.
Oh.
Like, the console versions that originally came out for Crisis 1 and 2 are dog shit. Like, the PS3 360. Do not play those. The new ones seem dicey but playable. So I'm still like, do I seriously need to use the PC version?
Right.
I'm so tired.
Can you run it?
I imagine I can run it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Not amazingly, because, you know, they made the game wrong. But, you know... When people were like, yeah, it turns out the scripting of the AI is what makes it so goddamn single-threaded and not easily multi-threaded. I'm like, yeah, that checks out. Mm-hmm. All right.
I still remember really liking the demo.
Yeah, that demo was cool. That could, any game in like 2007
or six that lets you shoot the trees until they break and splinter.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah.
I never ended up playing the full version, and then two came out and I never finished it because it didn't have anything I liked from the first game. Hopefully this goes back to something like one.
Yeah if they do this, they need to do something like one, because two is nothing like one.
Yeah, it's like what if we took out all the cool like large open area with islands and stuff and made it a city that's a straight line
and not destructible per se.
Yeah, not really destructible at all.
The weird thing I keep hearing from people is that each Crisis game is really its own creature. Like they're not that similar to each other. Each one's different in a weird way.
Weird.
Yeah, so that would be really
exciting.
It's like when you
buy that box of oatmeal that has the four different flavors in the packet.
and then you mix them all together and you go, this is Crisis.
That was an exciting thing to just appear at like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of weird stuff like that.
On like a Wednesday or Tuesday or something. Next up, they did the live stream, so we now know Sol Cresta, the mysteriously priced platinum game, I think it's like $40, it's coming out February 22nd.
Cool.
They also said they plan on doing DLC.
Yeah, they still have that plan, I guess.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I want to support them, but that's steep.
you're really getting us by the balls here.
I hope that they dub it at least, because, oh my god, it's going to be a story unfolding while I'm playing a flying shooter.
Oh, I don't need that. Oh, no.
Wow, that's a real Dynasty Warriors problem.
Yeah, it's even worse.
Yeah.
I need it in my native language. I don't need to be looking around to find the subtitles. And oh, I've blown up.
Yeah, like a bullet hell for that is the worst possible combination.
So here's my question, okay, my supposition. Can I just play Terra Cresta and pretend it's the same thing? Because that's a really old shmup.
Yeah, it's a sequel, so sure.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it. You know what? This looks about as good as the footage they showed, right?
Yeah, they're about.
I would like to note that it actually is on Arcade Archives, if anyone gets curious. I'm a little scared because it looks too similar to, what is it, Xevious?
Yeah, I was going to say, it does look a lot like Xevious.
And I fucking hate Xevious. Like, that game is unenjoyable. Like, even video game historians in the States are like, Xevious really popped in Japan for some reason.
Maybe it looks like Xevious, but has, you know, fun.
Yeah, this might be Xevious, but fun.
Yeah.
And that would be cool. Because I can imagine a version of Xevious that is fun. It's not too much like the pre-existing game Xevious. But yeah, Xevious is like ancient. So I think the whole appeal of Xevious is it's 5 years older than the oldest members of this podcast network.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, obviously. It's something that was cooler than...
Oh.
Cooler at the time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we did Galaga. What now? What if it scrolled the background? Cool.
Oh, okay.
Nailed it.
Ugh. I really hope you can turn the filter on this game off. It looks so bad.
Oh, I forgot about that terrible filter. Talking about Sol Cresta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sol Cresta.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like, God, because, like, I don't want your bad filter that you think makes it look like pixel art.
Yeah, it's baffling.
You know, I hadn't really thought about this. Why are they releasing it in late February? What are they doing?
Because they want to die.
Nothing else coming out. They don't... Okay.
So there's a genetic disorder in Rogue Legacy where you don't get knockback because your nerves don't work.
That
just gonna bring that up right now.
You know, that makes sense for Platinum right now. Within the next 30 days when that comes out, Babylon's Fall will also come out.
They're gonna ship all their games that are on the record. Somehow Bayonetta 3 is gonna ship it right after that, and then they'll just go, we're the aristocrats. And then the whole company will fold.
Inaba flies to the moon.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking shipping that then, but whatever. Fucking.
I mean, I guess it's one of those situations like we wanted to ship this 2 months ago.
Yeah, it did get delayed. So that's definitely a core part of that plan.
They should delay it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, New Tales, a dev publisher composed of devs from Activision, Blizzard, LucasArts, Sega, Sierra, and Ubisoft is formed. There wasn't a lot of...
Sierra?
I mean, LucasArts is also on here. Like, yes. Whoa.
Yeah.
Sierra died when? Like, before KZ was born?
If it was before 1992, then uh-oh.
Sierra formed... Sierra closed sometime in, like, the aughts. That's all I remember.
Okay,
it was bought by Vivendi and then shut down in like, 2008, but it's like...
Yeah.
I can't think of a single thing they were involved in.
Yeah, I know.
After the adventure game era, it's like, what the fuck do you...
Weren't they somehow involved in that Tribes remake? Not remake, the newest Tribes game, which is still from, like, 2005 or something.
That's not the newest Tribes game, I don't think, but... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They were just... Looks like they were one of those situations where they were just a name for a long time.
That checks out.
I think the last thing they shipped before being officially closed was... That they themselves developed was what is it? It made me stroke out here. Hoyle Casino 2004?
What?
Yeah, that checks out.
They published a lot of shit other people made.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's weird.
And now we've got a last bit of big developer type of news. NetEase Games establishes Negoshi Studio led by, wait for it, Negoshi.
Wow.
Toshihiro, creator of the Yakuza series. Also attached to this, like many creators that leave a company, he brought other people and poached them. Like the director of Lost Judgment is now at this studio now.
Of course.
The co-director?
I saw a lot of places just saying it was the director. I didn't dig really deep into it. I didn't know they had co-directors. But yeah, he grabbed some people from over there. They established that. I got to be reminded that this was happening. I completely forgot.
What if they just let him use Unreal?
Yeah. I can't imagine a world where Negoshi shipped that many games and just goes, we should make our own again. Instead of just going, nah, fuck that. That went terribly last time. Let's fucking use Unreal.
Yeah, it's literally been a thing. The PS5's out now, so this engine can be normal. Where the entire time it's like, Dragon Engine's cool. It's shitting its pants on this system right now.
Yeah, it's even shitting its pants on PC. Like, it was really funny listening to John and Alex Battaglia talk about, yeah, that engine is just really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the way they talk about it, it's like a greasy meal the PS5's eating.
Yeah, because even those PS5 games don't go above 1080p.
Yeah, the 60 frames per second mode's like 1080p. Nuts. You think it would be Crysis? Maybe the new Crysis will use the Dragon Engine.
Oh. Ooh. Moving on, this is some exciting gaming adjacent news. The 2021 Mortal Kombat movie is getting a sequel.
I thought that was greenlit right after the movie came out.
I thought it was too, but then, you know, I think it was like some people involved put out a big, like, Flaming 2 this week.
Oh, okay, there we go. That's the news. We got Flaming 2.
They put a nice. Flaming 2.
That's pretty dope.
The writer on Moon Knight, the upcoming MCU show, is going to be writing on this one.
Okay.
I hope they both turn out well.
Yeah.
I hope he writes that fucking original character out.
Yeah, every time I go to remember, I was like, I forget about him completely.
And I hope they write Kano more in.
And I hope they're like, the main character of this one is Johnny Cage.
Based on stuff in that, that would be really cool.
But the main character of this one's Kintaro.
This is hard.
I hope
What's our budget? I'm writing a lot of scenes from the shoulders up.
Yeah, they should put an Onaga in this one. That'd be pretty cool. Raw.
Also, legally, I'm required to say some people don't like Mortal Kombat 2021.
Okay, there we go. Okay,
I covered
wrong.
Our bases legally.
Okay, Mortal Kombat 2021 was a movie where I was where I felt good, and we did content on it, and that didn't happen much last year in terms of I watched something for content.
I mean, it was a fun time.
Yeah,
it seemed good. It was several steps better than I expected, and it's not even the worst Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, right. Definitely not.
I like how
it had a really cool fatality.
Yep. What was his description?
Where it was like, it's Power Rangers but R-rated.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I like
it. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, that's maybe that's all I want from Mortal Kombat. I don't know.
Yeah,
no, yeah, yeah. That's, fine. That's the vibe I get from all of it. Yeah. So that was good. I was worried that the video game movie I actually enjoyed was just going to be dead forever. And they're not going to do anything else with it. So it's nice that it's getting a sequel.
It would be so funny if they were like, if they pulled like, I think it was a Universal. Yeah, Universal, where they're just like, Scott Pilgrim didn't perform. We're pulling the plug on this Cthulhu shit. If they just went, Space Jam 2 didn't perform. We're pulling the plug on the Mortal Kombat sequel.
Okay, I would become violent. Violent KZ awakens.
You're like, this is bullshit. I watched Space Jam 2. You owe me.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you should be able to sue a fucking movie studio. Be like, you need to give me restitution.
Yeah. It's like, how dare you? The only thing in that was non Looney Tunes related that I enjoyed was the Agent Smith cosplayer.
Remember, there's a good 10-minute bit of that movie of visiting the worlds.
God, that was so fast. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I went non Looney Tunes. Because, you know, they're there. They're going through the different worlds. There's some funny stuff there. And then the movie's over. The movie's 2 hours long.
Yeah, wasn't it like 2:30 or something? It was massive.
It is two hours long. Space Jam 1's 90 minutes.
It's like a full hour of the final game, and it's really terrible.
It's
I love Space Jam. No Space Jam should ever be 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was.
Anyway. Next up, AI the Somnium Files Nirvana Initiative is releasing June 24th. They put up a story trailer today.
You sure can't tell anything that's fucking happening in that trailer.
I know, it's real good. I do not know what the trick is yet, but it looks very exciting. Showing off all the new characters, and it all looks weird.
Oh my god. The A at the end of Nirvana and the I at the beginning of Initiative are capitalized.
Yeah, for AI.
I get it.
Yeah, they're continuing to hype up this case of we found half of someone's body after we found another half some other time in the past. but it's
there's
pristine.
There's no sign it's been frozen, but this timeline does not match up at all.
So let's jump into people's brains and figure some stuff out.
Psychonauts?
But you're
obvious fetishes, less weird one.
Yes, where it's like here's the new AI made of an eyeball. This one has scrunko boobies.
Oh
yeah, you fucking dial it back, Uchikoshi. That's a little bit much.
Yeah, I was also like, okay, come on now. We got one other. My last piece of news is we got another trailer. This was the final trailer for Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. Where I was watching it, and I went, oh, this is good. It's showing off gameplay, some of those other, you know, classic bosses from the original FF1 that I was excited to see them, like, transformed into this new modern take. And then there's half of that trailer left, and I almost passed out.
Yeah, that's
That might be the funniest trailer I think I've seen in years. Where I'm like, what are you fucking doing?
For people who don't know, it has a licensed song that you do not expect.
Yes, we will not tell you, but you will never guess.
Yeah,
no matter what.
I have no reason to say it, because after I saw the interview where they're like, yes, that is the theme song of the game. And I went, fucking what?
That's great. I hope this game script-wise and tonally is the equivalent of buying really expensive speakers for your car and blowing them out by playing the volume too loud.
Yes! I'm pretty sure that's what everything in this game is about. Yeah.
I'm getting Metal Gear dialogue vibes from this trailer, especially the end where which I am 99% sure that fucking thing at the end of the sane part of the trailer is the Goblin King.
Oh yeah, I've seen comparisons.
Final Fantasy
like,
1.
This is definitely that, but it's like bimbification version of the Goblin King.
No. The monster at the end. The monster at the end is like, we're almost there, Jack. God, just name more video game protagonist Jack. It's like the funniest name to yell.
It is, yeah.
Jack like,
I just start
is back.
Getting metal. I start getting Metal Gear Rising flashbacks.
I really appreciate the bimboification of the dark elf enemy for Final Fantasy 1.
Yeah, he's so hideous in Final Fantasy 1. It's hilarious to see him being like the most pretty boy you can imagine.
Yeah, because FF1, he's just a normal NPC that's like, you need to get this item to progress. Go do a dungeon. Give me the item. Okay, fight me now. So him having real-ass cutscenes and being some hot dude is really funny.
I'm not going to look this up. I want to be hit by it when I play that game.
Oh, 100.
It's going to be good.
100%. I'm like, yes, please.
That's the
deposit a new twink, please.
That's the equivalent of, oh, yeah, they're doing this game. It's called Forgetters of Tomorrow. It takes place in Final Fantasy X. Waka's a sad dad.
Ooh. Yeah. And based on screenshots they show, it's seeming more and more that a lot of these levels are going to be inspired by various places from other Final Fantasies. Even if they're not exactly it, they're like, oh, there's some reminiscent stuff, which we kind of got that vibe from the demo,
mm-hmm.
where they just put in the everything about the Sunleth Waterscape part of Final Fantasy 13. It's like you can do the different weather effects, and it seems like they're just going to be doing that with a lot of areas, which I'm like, that's cool, because this is the 35th anniversary game for the series. So that's cool.
Cool.
That's all of my news, though. That wraps me up.
We'll move to Phil, because he has fewer stories. Or actually, okay. Yeah, one fewer.
Yeah, Yacht Club's announcing something big on February 1st. They said a megaton announcement, which I assume will mean something they haven't already announced, so not that Shovel Knight Dig thing. Is that out? I have no idea.
I think it is.
It was a mobile thing?
It was supposed to come out, and then it didn't come out.
I don't
out.
Think remember? It's out, because we talked about having to play it for Game of the Year, but it wasn't out at all.
I remember good reviews start hitting.
Oh, okay.
I could have sworn that your journalists were talking about how cool this game is.
Yeah, maybe it was like an early access thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That game looks cool as hell, where it's like Shovel Knight, but like different, and also like a 16-bit-esque look. So
do you guys think this is going to be Shovel Knight 2?
Maybe.
Yeah. That or whatever their next big thing is.
They need if it's Shovel Knight 2, they need to fully embrace it and just call it Super Shovel Knight.
Yes, and then yes. Just have Super Nintendo graphics.
That would be so good.
They're so fucking good at what they do that they can announce anything and I'm down for it, and I would understand them not wanting to continue. Because it's already been 8 years of Shovel Knight.
Yeah, something brand new was also amazing.
Yeah, because they've essentially made 4 Shovel Knights.
They made a Shovel Knight game, a Ninja Gaiden game, a Wario game.
Yeah,
but I'm excited. Whatever they fucking want to see, I'm here for.
But if it's Super Shovel Knight and it has like a Mega Man X sounding sound font, I'll lose my mind.
Yeah, with Vert composing.
It would have to be Shovel Knight X, right?
No, it's going to be Super Shovel Knight where his body's really, really big and the screen's small.
Oh, so like China Warrior.
Yeah, like Mega Man 7.
Hyperscape, Ubisoft's Battle Royale, is already dead. It's ending service April 28th.
God, was that even a year?
No.
I think it started 2020?
Okay. Oh, was that 2020? God, yeah, those that, years
was.
Fused.
It
yeah,
does
you're
feel
right.
like 2020.
It was in the yeah, lead it was, up it was, summer of 2020.
So God. Almost 2 years. You know, I never heard anybody other than us talk about the fact that, yeah, the point of this game was supposed to be that it had a really high tick rate and felt really good compared to other first-person shooters. They never marketed that point at all or had anybody talk about it.
Yeah, I knew this was extra doomed because the YouTuber that I watched that discusses death of video games, mainly online service games, did a video on this like 2 months ago. Where it's like, yeah, this is pretty much done. They're not making any new content for it.
Hey.
Yeah, wait. They're just.
It was
so many battle royales.
Yeah,
I
at least it was trying some stuff that was different. I was a bit more keen on it, where it's like, oh, Ubisoft's like putting out a battle royale that's like a new IP, and it's trying to do some stuff with Twitch where it's like they do the viewer voted things that like change the world, mm-hmm. So you have like different power ups and stuff. So I was like interested in it, but it's also a battle royale, so I won't play it.
So, a game was announced, a tie-in game for Seven Deadly Sins, that extremely mediocre Shonen Battle anime. It's called Seven Deadly Sins Origin. It has the fakest-looking trailer I've ever fucking seen. It's apparent the game that they are fabricating that is not real.
It's gotta be
real. Is a Genshin Impact clone. But,
It looks so good.
Yeah, me and Dan.
Seriously, look up,
about
this, look up this trailer.
It looks like it looks more fake than any of the Naughty Dog trailers, which is insane.
I started making the deterministic gameplay joke because as Bob's looking at the swim animation, he's like, "That's no."
Yeah, it's just not how any of the movement stuff would look in a game.
I'm just losing it.
Put that next to Horizon Forbidden West swimming.
The fact Horizon would look worse. Yeah. Oh fuck! One moment, I'm gonna do that. I'm just gonna do that real quick because I'm literally like, you can't look better than Forbidden West. It is.
Okay, so it turns out this beat Forbidden West. What is it? It's a tie-in game for a shonen anime that isn't the most popular one and only had one season that looked visually good.
It would be really funny if some, because this is a Korean mobile game studio primarily, if they're just like, yeah, we just spent $400 million on this game.
Which, sure, that'd be cool.
We love this like, universe be like, that much.
Yeah. I'll be like, that's a really bad decision for you, but I'm happy.
Yeah, I'll play anything that's approaching that cool.
Okay, this is super fucking fake, because there's a part where he's climbing, and like the Breath of the Wild esque stamina meter appears, and it drains so unrealistically fast.
So I watched it.
Uh huh.
I watched the Forbidden West swimming.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It absolutely looks more real. Like, it looks less fake because you see hard loops in the animation once she surfaces,
right?
And it's just like, yeah, that's how animations for gameplay tend to look.
Oh no, Dan, it's good.
I'm glad I brought it up.
Somehow look unique.
I'm so glad I brought up the comparison.
That's absolutely insane.
And lastly, this leaked. Apparently, who fucking bought Suda 51? Was it NetEase?
Yeah, I think it was NetEase. Yeah.
Apparently, they worked out copyright shit, so he can make so he's apparently working on a new Shadows of the Damned and a new Lollipop Chainsaw right now.
I like the hard confirm. Hell yeah, let's go.
You know, I fully expected one of those. I didn't expect Lollipop Chainsaw.
That's cool. That's cool as hell. He should call up James Gunn.
He should.
He should.
Lollipop Chainsaw feeling not like a terrible seventh gen game would make it go up a lot.
He should call James Gunn, and Sony should pour shitloads of money to make the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Yes,
I think any Suda game looking like it costs $200 million would be unbelievably funny.
Also, the pop of a James Gunn being on a trailer would be much higher this time.
Yes, that's true. More people would care. Absolutely.
And you can tell that even he still cares, because in interviews when The Suicide Squad came out, he's like, yeah, Harley's really cool. So I worked on Lollipop Chainsaw with Suda 51 one time.
Yeah, I think he's even talked about wanting to do more of it.
Yeah, because again, then Suda like tweeted him. He's like, thanks, man.
James Gunn still, when he isn't, when like Marvel turns the mind control chip off, he still has like very obviously like has interest in doing like exploitive trauma type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel Disney sure as fuck never gonna let him do any of that, so fucking make this game.
Yeah,
that's all of my news.
Okay, let's head on over to Bob.
Sure. We got a new trailer for Momodora Moonlit Farewell. They put up a Steam page so you can go wishlist it. If you haven't played Momodora games before, they're a lot of fun. They're like Metroidvania / Dark Souls-esque things. And this new trailer looks nice. It's back to pixel art, and not like his previous game.
Yeah, I really didn't like that. What was it?
Minoria? I think
Minoria. Yeah, that really disappointed me. And I'm really glad that they're back to this now.
Yeah, it's kind of sad following the dev on Twitter and seeing him go through like a depressive state after releasing that game. But yeah, it's exciting that they're back and doing this with pixel art. It looks right. Very
this
excited.
This shit looks like it has the card system from Circle of the Moon.
It does.
Oh, fuck you. Seriously?
It's got something going on with that. And I'm like, it's right. It's probably not exactly that system, but it's almost certainly is.
Shit, man. I'm
activated. Like, it's like pick up to five cards from this big sheet of sigils, and it looks like they probably drop from enemies because there's a lot of them.
Oh, crack.
Yeah.
Don't want to just waste this crack.
The crack falls out of the skeleton when you hit it.
Start snorting.
I also see what appears to be Egyptian cat girl Virgil.
that's good.
I like the this is gonna sound unusual. I like the big spider enemy because it's obviously
very unusual.
It's obviously a baby spider scaled up to like 30 times size.
Oh, okay.
And it's like still cute and has these tiny legs. It's very funny. And then there's the usual suspects for these games of giant boob lady.
Yeah, that was outrageous. Holy shit, those are floppy. Holy fuck.
Okay, where is this in the trailer?
Uh-huh. I think it's near the end.
Holy fucking shit. I'm just skimming through the trailer trying to find this baby spider, and then I just hear flop. Keep in mind, video's muted. It's just like...
Oh, wow, yeah, those are hanging.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Now that you've pointed out the Egyptian Virgil, I really hope a game of the year this next year we can have best Virgil as a category.
Hopefully there's enough to provide reason.
Yeah, I want this to be out, if
Bayonetta comes out.
Do you really think they would stick a Virgil and Bayonetta?
hopefully it'll be one that's better than the one in Bayonetta 2.
I don't know.
There's already something at the end of that trailer, so I'm assuming that'll be better than the one in 2.
This is what we call any form of optimism.
Right?
Yeah. They should bring back Alrun? How the fuck do you say that?
I don't know.
I've always had
difficulty. It's Alraune, if I remember correctly.
Alrune or something?
I'll just ask Google. Google, tell me. Tell me how to say this word.
Leave me alone, Phil.
I'm so tired.
I guess it's Alrune.
Sure.
Sure, whatever.
But she should have been the Virgil in Bayonetta 2. She has a much better design and character than what we fucking got.
Yeah, I don't know what they're... Like most things in Bayonetta 2, what were you thinking?
Ass!
Let me see what else I got. Playism did a big event. They're like a small publisher, but they did a large live stream that was several hours long. One of the games they showcased was Homura Hime. It comes out next year. It's a 3D action game made by a small Taiwanese developer. Is the first game. It looks pretty neat. It has like bullet hell mechanics mixed with like more typical 3D action game combat. So it's kind of like Nier. you fight Hex Maniac.
Yes, you do. It looks like a more advanced version of Mitsurugi Hikei.
Yeah.
Because there's like actual stages, it looks like, and traversal mechanics as well.
It's like what that was the first step. Then you had Assault Spy, which was like one step above that, and now this looks like even one more step above that.
Right.
Man, you're winning, Phil.
I'm excited. This looks great.
I was losing it because I tried to search up Homura Hime, and then it goes, Google, showing results for Homura Home, and then it's like, the Homura residents from Puella Magi.
I was about to say, it's going to be a fucking Madoka thing.
I just put it into YouTube, and it was even like, do you want this MMD video of that character? You want her dancing while shooting a gun?
I mean, that does sound pretty funny.
Maybe I do.
That sounds pretty worthwhile. Holy shit, that is Hex Maniac as hell. Holy fuck.
I was not kidding. It is direct.
Look, it's a scale. It's pulled all the way to the right.
Yes.
Holy hell.
Yes.
I cannot believe the boldness of this vision.
And it feels like I'll buy 3 copies.
I will.
Holy shit. That is...
Oh.
Hot damn. Anyway...
Holy shit.
EA also announced 3 games this week.
Oh, okay, cool.
They just have a random blog like, we're working on 3 Star Wars games.
Oops, dropped this $10 billion franchise.
All from Respawn.
Yeah.
The first one, they don't want to say it's Fallen Order 2. They just say, next game in the Star Wars Jedi series.
Directed by Stigis Musin.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Very excited.
So yeah, that's obviously one to know about. There's also a new first-person shooter directed by Peter
Hirschman.
He did the original Medal of Honor and also that new VR one from last year.
Wow.
Okay.
And then
okay.
he's I'm not sure what VP of production means.
Vice President of Product Development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Product Development. I'm not sure exactly what role of involvement that is, but he has that on his ton of Star Wars properties like Force Unleashed, Lego Star Wars 2, Empire at War.
Empire at War.
Yeah, a ton of different things. I don't know what to expect from this, but I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, that's cool.
A respawn shooter. It's Star Wars, and it's not dice making a Battlefront game. I'm popping.
Yeah, no, that's
great. I'm popping up real hard.
Yeah, that's great news.
You made a tweet saying fucking a Mandalorian shooting Star Wars game, and I'm like, I'll come. I will come.
Yeah, just make Titanfall Mandalorian, and I'm there.
Would be the best shit. You get that jetpack. You get that weird thing with his arm that shoots up a bunch of seeking micro missiles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be sick as hell.
Yeah, I hope that they just do that. I'm excited for whatever they come up with, though. This is a great place. Also, this basically confirmed, yeah, they're not working anywhere at all at Battlefront 3. That's just not happening.
Yeah.
And it was like, thank
Let's
you.
Let's go! Nature is healing, baby!
and the third game, they're working with a new dev. It's a strategy game, and they're working with these guys who apparently left from previous Sid Meier's XCOM. They worked at Fire Axis.
Okay.
Greg...
That's a hard name.
Yeah,
at first I was thinking Foresight, but no, that is completely
that
wrong.
That is in fact, I'm counting them, five consonants in a row.
What, this is a fucking hard wordle.
F-O-E. Yeah, right. R-S-T-C-H. Forch. That's what I'm going with.
Forch seems right.
All right, sure. Forch.
It seems right.
They're making a studio called Bit Reactor. And they're going to make a strategy game with, I guess, publishing basically done by Respawn. Like, cool. Some sort of influence from them. That's cool. I'm excited to see what they do.
There's something so funny. There was a tweet that went, all you got to do is tell EA that they don't have the exclusivity on Star Wars, and suddenly they greenlight a bunch of big Star Wars games. That's all it takes.
Yeah, strange.
Yeah.
Now that there's actual competition in the space and a developer that knows how to fucking make a Star Wars game.
Man, you're telling me competition's good?
Yeah.
What a shock.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm excited for some other company to announce a Star Wars game that's not, that one.
Yeah, they're gonna make a new Masters of the Terrace Kasi. It's gonna be made in the fucking Guilty Gear engine.
Oh my god!
God.
It'll just be even more like, okay, King of Fighters and Street Fighter, where are you at? Come
I should have just saved that for an armchair dev. So
yes.
God, yeah. 100%.
You know, I had forgorgotten that they were making that Old Republic. I forgot that was announced.
Oh, the KOTOR remake?
So yeah, I was just thinking of the awful thing made by David Cage.
Oh, yeah, we've got...
Oh, Detroit, yeah.
Yeah, we've got...
Oh, no. God, I forgot he announced a Star Wars game.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we got the Quantic Dream Star Wars game, we've got the KOTOR remake, and we've got the Star Wars game being made by the devs of The Division for Ubisoft.
I forgot about that, too.
Yes.
another game announcement out of nowhere this week, Blizzard announced unannounced survival game.
From their offices.
Yeah, just on a blog, and then we're like, hey, job openings are up. Please come work for us.
Is that the survival game? It's like, yes. You come work at Blizzard.
The unannounced survival game, you now work at Blizzard.
Yes.
We're only taking...
You open the job listing, and it's just that hand coming at you.
No!
We're only taking female applicants at this time.
No! Yeah, that's this just feels bad in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no shit. This sucks.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
we're announcing long sigh, popular genre game. Please come work for us in the hell in the fires of Mordor.
Yes, a popular genre game, a genre that's already on the downswing.
Dude, it is years past this the hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, there's no, like, I'm assuming that this must just be reductive to the point of like being laughable.
Yeah.
Did that one with Vin Diesel come out yet? Like Arc 2?
No,
okay. But that gets the hype because it's Vin Diesel and Ark 2. Ark was like one of the biggest.
Yeah, it is the big. I was just trying to think about any survival games that are releasing now.
I think that's the only one.
Like, watch, it's like an unreleased survival game. It's actually the next World of Warcraft expansion because we're getting quirky again.
I gotta go.
The art they released for this was two really clashing images.
What?
Oh, there was art?
Yeah, there were two different pictures. One is like a bunch of teenagers with bicycles in a mystical like forest land. And the other is on the job listing page. It's like some night elf looking character in armor that looked kind of cool.
Okay. This isn't directly related to this. Does anybody remember the fucking four-person survival zombies ate my neighbor's ass game that had like a trailer we saw at one point and then we never heard of it ever again?
Wasn't that that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids game?
No, it was not Grounded.
Okay.
It was like them going through a Warcraft portal and setting up crystals.
I don't know.
It was something in the Summer Games Fest Death March.
Look, I'm gonna be nice, okay? Anything that just looks like zombies ate my neighbor's butt just gets filtered.
Well, what are you talking about? It's a classic Super Nintendo Genesis game.
Was it on both? Yeah, I guess it was. It was the sequel, Ghoul Patrol, that was SNES exclusive. I actually grew up with Ghoul Patrol.
Uh-huh.
I spent my entire childhood people hyping up zombies ate my neighbors.
Mm.
Ghoul Patrol is one of my least liked games I've owned since being a kid.
Mm.
So when I found out it's the same fucking game, that sucker punched the shit out of me. I was like, wait a second. Wait, you guys acted like you had gold over here. So yeah, I don't know. I seem to recall being shown some game like that, but it got filtered immediately, man. I don't know.
That's
sorry. I'm sorry. Also, I'm looking at this image. I can't find the other one you're talking about, Bob. Is this the other one?
It's the one with the cave.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll post these so they can see it at very least.
Sure.
So there's one, right? That's
like a weird cutoff. I could have sworn there was.
It's
one
okay.
With the
I got it. I got it.
Okay.
You give me a second. Okay. So here's the other image they posted. Why did it post it twice? Whatever. Fucking thank you, Discord.
Brilliant.
Discord does that sometimes.
Very cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
This has to be like, obviously they haven't even started development on this yet, so we'll see it in 5 years or never.
Yeah, I God.
Considering they're trying to crank up development as they're being acquired.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's all this is just like, what? Why?
Like, I can 100% see somebody at Microsoft in like a year being like, no.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, you can make this. We're gonna need you to make your budget a little bit more Game Pass friendly.
Maybe you just make an expansion for Grounded.
Oh no!
They're like, why don't you ship fucking those two games you're working on instead?
How about you sit down and shit already? How about you get off this fucking pot?
Yeah, start farting.
Listen, Overwatch is now on Game Pass, so we're going to be needing everybody to make cosmetics for the next 4 years.
I'm
going to
be honest, if Double Fine started making cosmetics for Overwatch.
Oh, no, I didn't even think of it like that. I didn't even think of the future where they, now they can, instead of just the Forza mine, they have
the all mines. Like
they have all manner of mines at this point.
There's so many mines. There's no shortage of mines.
Yes.
Phil Spencer's like, you can work in whatever hole in the earth you want.
Aren't you guys excited? We've got Bastion as Psy King from Psychonauts 2.
Move on.
Yeah, okay, let's see. The next thing I got, tomorrow, so after this podcast is out, the new Guilty Gear update goes out, has Combo Maker. Looks really cool. You can share combos you make online and search and filter them appropriately, like, oh, this is for a high advanced skill level and stuff.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, that looks great. It looks like the feature that should have been there at launch in some form, and then added on to make it this, instead of just, hey, there's no combo practice mode in this game.
Yeah, there's
and
no
now
challenges.
All of a sudden we have the best one ever made.
Yeah, this sounds like the sauce. Yeah. The sauce that was missing, yeah.
Yeah, I see a ton of people who's a fighting game community like, I want this in every fighting game.
Yeah, no, that instantly comes across as an idea that should be in everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Biken comes out, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I saw the video of how she works and everything. I saw her her key art render. Whoa. they keep going crazy every time with those honkers.
Yeah, I always think of a panel from Koto Hirano.
To get out but, in this new one to a degree. I was like, oh.
Bob, what were you saying?
I always remember a panel from Koto Hirano and Helsing. Of yeah, I just keep drawing Seer as the main female with bigger boobs on accident, and I just go with it.
See, now I'm just thinking of the Project Echo thing, where it's like, yeah, the person who made the teacher, she keeps drawing the teacher's boobs bigger and bigger, and I have to go in afterwards and tone it down. yeah, no, look, at this point, there's no such thing as de-escalation.
No.
No.
Not with Viking.
Oh,
it would
no.
be hilarious if it was just like, yeah, the Viking is right. She looks like a Viking in XX.
I like that one of her supers is just a firework gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was disappointing because her moveset does seem reduced, but I'm still really excited to try it out, see how it goes, because I've never been the best player anyway.
So she's a character in Strive.
Continue. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. Man, wait, does that mean that comes out at midnight?
I don't know. It might be out now. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Huh. We should check.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for news, and that's it for this episode of Big Think Dimension. Me and Bob over the next week are going to be playing... recovering from Horizon Zero Dawn. Sorry, Horizon Zero Patience 1 stream.
Very excited.
Oh, I am fucking thrilled. I am so goddamn excited. I don't know what we're planning after that. We're really just going to have to play it by touch because I don't... Guys, I don't know if I'm ready to go into bio week right after that.
Yeah, we might need a stopgap, maybe some smaller stuff.
Yeah, a little baby streams, 8 hours.
Yeah.
Instead of 13 at a time. Aside from that, I don't know. KZ, what you got going on?
I will have been streaming through Pokemon Legends Arceus, because that comes out. Really, really excited to jump into that. I might try to slip in a Dead Space 2 stream. We'll see how things go as we march toward February, the moment every video game comes out at once. like I see it happening. I've seen people go, our review copies for Dying Light 2 and Horizon are here.
I looked up the release date for King of Fighters 15. I was like, what do you mean I have like 3 weeks? I'm scared.
Forgot.
No way.
Yeah, it's on the 14th if I do the deluxe pre-order.
So wait,
that makes sense. They did show the last character.
It's like, please don't launch it the same day as Horizon. Horizon doesn't need to dwarf something else.
No.
I know they're very different games, but it just feels like, come on, man. Don't revenge kill some random guy. Ugh. Okay.
It needs Why to stay away February? From Soul Cresta.
Why February? Yeah, we'll just let Soul Cresta and King of Fighters 15 hang out. I feel like there's not a lot of overlap there. Field, do you have anything going on in the next week?
Feeling dread over everything KC just said.
Yes. Absolutely. Ugh. So, Bob.
What's up?
Get in the Ava. We're going to eat some ice cream.
No!
Yeah!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.